was tempted to give you and ask for an encore.
Oh, that was beautiful. Contributions to the church community are made in many different ways. We often talk about giving in terms of time, talent, and treasure. Last Sunday, we talked about the gift of talent. This Sunday, we'll talk about treasure. Money. What are the two things that couples have the most difficulty talking about and, strangely enough, have the most problem with?
Money.
Yes, sex and money. Indeed. Indeed. What are the things most churches have difficulty talking about? Absolutely. It is all about relationship. However, at MCC, we have no such problems.
Indeed.
Now, as I've said, I don't mind talking about the financial resources to which our community is supported, because it is an opportunity to also examine the very spiritual relationship between the way that we give of ourselves and the way that we live our lives. The two are indeed related. The more generous we are with ourselves and our lives, the more our lives are lived generously. In my experience, those who live life most abundantly, each breath filled with life and each day with abundance, are not the wealthiest, but those who live with generosity. How do we build a church? That's a great question. We already have the building. What we are doing now is building the church. Will you join me in prayer, please? Loving spirit of community, generosity, and life. Open our minds, our hearts, and our hands. Inspire us as we celebrate the abundant gifts of life all around us this day. We ask for the wisdom to perceive them and to receive them. And grant us an awareness of your presence here among us today, moving in us, around us, and through us. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. Someone asked me about tithing. And so I want to talk a little bit about tithing this morning. The word tithe means one-tenth. It means 10%. Giving one-tenth back to God was a practice of traditional Jewish law, going back to ancient times. The practice is mentioned several times in Genesis, as well as in Mosaic law. Like prayer, like service, like any spiritual practice, tithing is a personal choice. It was certainly a part of our household growing up, and for me has been a guideline for giving, a starting point, and a spiritual principle, a spiritual discipline, and one that has taught me a lot about life. Not only taught me how to give, but how to live. Now, over the years, my own giving habits have involved giving not just to one church, but to many churches, places where Heather and I have traveled, places where a regular contribution means survival for some small churches, places where dollars earned in Northern Virginia go much farther, the farther away from the Beltway that we go. I think at one point we were pledging various amounts to as many as four churches, and as well as donating to some selected charities. The point is, tithing is a practice that has taught me to live out of a place of abundance. Now, regardless of where you give, tithing benefits more the individual doing the giving than the institutions to which it is given. I'm going to let you think about that moment. I'm going to repeat it. Regardless of where you give, tithing benefits more the individual doing the giving than the institutions to which it is given. When people live from a place of scarcity, their entire life becomes something to guard, something to fence in, something to put in a vault, something to save and to meter out in small amounts lest they run out. I once knew a man who was terrified of growing old and being poor in his old age. So terrified that he became poor in his present days. A miser in his daily life. Ultimately, he ended up hoarding, shortchanging his present for a future that never came for him. He died midlife, hard at work, never enjoying the full fruits of his labors or the bounty of the blessing of his hard work while he was at work. He ended up enriching the lives of his nieces and nephews instead. One woman told me many years ago when she heard me talk about tithing, she said that she was afraid to. She was afraid that she wouldn't have enough. I think it was Hafez, the Sufi poet, who said, "The fear or worry over your well going dry when you have enough to drink is a thirst that cannot be quenched." Tithing, regardless of your giving destination, teaches us that we do have enough. An abundance, in fact. In fact, this church itself tithes, giving 12% back to the MCC denomination every month. Tithing teaches us abundance. Now, I've had people ask me, is it 10% of the gross or 10% of the net? Now, in doing so, I think they missed the entire point of giving themselves freely, giving freely without worry or without measure. I've also had people reference all kinds of sources that take great pains in pointing out that tithing is no longer necessary. It's not necessary, but it is a choice. And a sharp resistance to a concept without even taking the time to seriously ponder the possibility is sometimes an indication of a growing edge. Do you know what I mean? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Indeed. I think tithing is an almost mystical part of our faith tradition. It's a powerful practice that teaches us much about life. And whether one gives 2%, 5%, 10%, 15% or more, there are three things that have helped me to reach the point where I am with regard to giving, and I'd like to share them with you today. Who, where, and why? Who? When you give, you are giving to God. That must be very clear in your heart and in your mind. Now, whether it's to MCC Nova, Oxfam, Red Cross, Red Crescent, Doctors Without Borders, Habitat for Humanity, those are all very human tags that we place on organizations, but don't let them distract you from the actual recipient of your gift. When you give your financial gifts, you're not giving them to MCC Nova or to purchase surgical supplies or to build someone a home. Yours is an offering to God. An offering to God. God's work on earth. That lesson alone can change your life and the way that you look at the world. Which brings me neatly to where. Now, I used to spend an inordinate amount of time wondering exactly where my financial gifts were going, exactly how my gifts were being used. But when we give a gift, is that really in the spirit of its giving? The wondering or questioning of how it's going to be used? No! When we look at sacrifices, tithes, and offerings that were made in the Hebrew Bible, quite frankly, they went up in smoke. They went up in smoke, literally. The best lamb, full of life and promise, given to God in a burnt offering. Imagine your tithe being burned. That's what they did back. I meditate strongly on that thought as I give, because that is where I become very clear as to the recipient of my gifts and as to exactly what principle is being taught here in the process of giving. That is the spirit of giving, the spirit of releasing, the spirit of letting go. That matters most. Giving is in the release of letting go of these things. Now, I know a woman who gives freely. when she encounters a homeless person in need. One of her friends said, "Now you just know that person is going to spend that money on alcohol or drugs." The woman shrugged and replied, "Mine is only to give. Mine is only to give." That's another lesson that can transform every aspect of your life from a place of scarcity to one of gratitude and abundance. Finally, why do we give? Mary took 12 ounces of costly oil of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. John 12, verse 3. Why wasn't this expensive oil sold and then the money given to the poor? One of the disciples asked just that very question. And there are still those voices today. Of course, we should remember that Judas was the one who asked the question. And he was not one whose actions were truly motivated by concerns for the poor. On many accounts, he was the money keeper for the disciples. Now, Jesus saw that and he knew that, and Jesus hushed him up rather sharply. Go read the scripture. Because the expensive gift set literally at the feet of Jesus was given totally and completely by one truly and purely from the heart. Think of that moment and how she must have felt each time I give him my time, my talent, and my treasure. The why comes from a place deep within. So I think that learning how to give is a spiritual discipline, and it is a choice. Just as is prayer, worship, meditation, fasting, solitude, and service. Each of these things has something important to teach us about ourselves and the world around us, and about life itself. And that, for me, is the gift of religion. And why I treasure my time in church community, from when I was a tot until this very moment. What do you treasure? What is it that you treasure? What is your treasure in life? Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? The Gospels of Matthew and Luke tell us nearly with one voice, "For where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. And where your heart is, so there shall your treasure be." The line that captivated me from today's second reading is this: "No one longs for what they already have. Yet all we lack is the willingness to imagine that we already have everything we need." No one longs for what they already have, yet all we lack is the willingness to imagine that we already have everything we need. It's as if you were to take a treasure map. You know, one of those with a big red X on it. And overlay that map with a big red X, "You are here" map, and put them together. The treasure we seek requires no lengthy expedition, no self-help book, no expensive equipment, only the willingness to imagine that we already have everything we need. Find your treasure. We live in a world all too filled and driven by greed. We see it and experience it everywhere. One could even argue that greed is a fundamental economic principle of our society. But it is true in ancient times as well as now that good religion, and good theology is countercultural. And it leads us to places where we otherwise would not go. That, to me, is the beauty of religion and religious community. Now, in closing, a gift should never be given with any thought of "what's in it for me." There was no "what's in it for me" as Mary anointed the feet of Jesus with expensive oil. And there certainly is no "what's in it for me" in a burned offering. We do not give a gift to someone and expect something in return. Perhaps it may happen. but even to considering it happening tarnishes the glow of the very spirit of giving. And to expect such a thing destroys the spirit of giving altogether. But God is good. There is a response to that.
All the time.
Let's try that
all
again.
All the time?
Let's try that again. God is good.
All the time.
Amen. And we are part of a covenant, a promise. Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove me now in this, says Yahweh, and see if I do not open the windows in the sky and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be enough room for you to contain it. That is the blessing of learning to give and to live abundantly in a life literally filled with life. Today, we bless the act of giving treasure. Next week, we offer thanks for all that has been received. And so may it be that we all come to live in that space of abundance and gratitude. May that indeed be so.